and bring home the bacon, fry it up in a pan, and never let you forget who I am, cause I'm a woman, W-O-M-A-N. I'll say it again, cause I'm a woman, W-O-M-A-N. Welcome to Word of Mom Radio and the Mompreneur Model Show. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to a special Word of Mom Radio, Mompreneur Model Show. I'm Dori DiCarlo, and you know that we are here week after week breaking those myths that mompreneurs just dabble in business in between, you know, bake sales and getting your nails done. We're smart, savvy business women navigating that road and trying to create that balance between building a business and raising a family. And when I say balance, we're not talking equality. We're just talking being able to juggle all the balls that we have to juggle as a mom, as a business owner, you know, as a partner and a friend and all of the things that we do. And I'm excited today to be sharing Kathy Shamield, who is somebody that I met through Facebook. And every time I hear someone say, and I know I say it all the time, oh, I spend too much time online, you're just not doing it right. Because the relationships that are out there for you to create with people you may never have the opportunity to meet, although I have to laugh because when Kathy called in for today's show, it turns out we live probably 20 miles from each other and didn't even know it. Because, you know, so that's where it gets to be fun, where you get to actually go, oh, wait a minute, we can sit down and actually have that cup of tea, and it doesn't have to be virtual. So it's exciting. And I want to give you a little background on Kathy before I bring her here. Again, it's Kathy Shamield who is with me, and she launched iMommy, which is a virtual baby app, and was showing a profit within 6 months. And every year it grew, and she reinvested her money back into the app. She was figuring out things as she went along because sometimes no one's willing to help. Kathy made lots of mistakes like we all do, but she got up and she kept at it. And eventually, iMommy was in the top 50 categories in under five and still is. She's also created apps called Baby Monsters, Alien Babies, iMommy Retro, and the soon-to-be-coming-out Baby Fairies and Baby Mermaids. And in 2015, she's looking to be launching an iMommy doll line. Kathy, like all of us, is facing so many different issues since things have changed and Apple has changed the rules for kid categories. And now she has to redo all kinds of key elements in the app in order to get it back on top. And though ranked high, her income has dropped from it. And so she's having to find creative ways to get the funding back into her business. And that's what's so great about online crowdfunding and things like that. And we're going to talk about it because Kathy's facing things that we all are facing. And maybe we can learn from some of the things that she's doing and get this ball rolling. So with that, Kathy, welcome to Word of Mom Radio. I'm so glad you could join me today.
Oh, thank you, Dori. I'm so happy that you invited me on.
Oh, my pleasure. So, you know, having never made an app, I mean, I can design a website and I've learned how to create graphics. How did you come up, A, with the idea for iMommy, and how did you make it happen?
Well, as far as the idea, we had bought our first iPad about 4 or 5 years ago, and like with any household with children, the minute you bring in an electronic device, they come at you like you're a magnet and start wanting to play with it. And I was looking at the different apps that they might be interested in and I approved of. And I have three kids, a son and two girls. And my two daughters at the time were interested in playing mom. And so I thought, well, I'm sure looking at all these apps, there's got to be some type of virtual baby type app where you just simple take care of for younger kids, not really a lot of reading involved or point system or anything like that. And much to my surprise, there wasn't one. And, you know, so I was shocked. I kept looking, thinking, well, I've put in the wrong description or I've, you know, and I kind of did it for a while and realized the closest thing was an app that you did have to keep score and you couldn't really do anything with the baby. It was more like a little tiny thing that just existed, but you didn't really get to change it or interact with it. And, you know, so the idea was born, and I was about to be laid off again from my current business development job at the time. And I kind of just thought, you know, what have I got to lose, you know, at this point? I didn't know how to program, but I knew about outsourcing, and I knew sites like Elance, you know, had programmers on it. And I kind of just tiptoed into doing research about it, you know, looking at into Elance and looking at all the different types of programmers and what they offered. And I learned a lot, and I messed up a lot and made a lot of mistakes. But and, you know, got burned a lot, but I eventually figured out what to look for, what to avoid, who to trust, who not to trust, and took about a year from idea to having the first level of a finished product, and then we launched later, about April or so. The idea came to me around September, and I had a finished idea around April, and then a couple months, you know, we launched close to that date, and you know, it started to do pretty well after that.
So,
but it was stressful.
As you were, you know, as anyone knows who has created their own business, you know, as mompreneurs, there are different mompreneurs out there. There are people that create a business. There are people who buy into a business. There are people that create businesses through multi-level marketing, which I'm a huge fan of that model. You know, we each have our own path, but when you are creating something that nobody else has done, it gives you, it's a much different perspective going, wow, here's a need and I can fill it. Great. Now, how do I do that?
Exactly. Yeah. I find that part really, really fun. It's just, it's also, I think the worst part of it is when you're kind of a low level type, you know, person who starts a business with not a lot of money and you're competing against big name businesses, they see your idea once it's out there and they copy it and they can market better and handle things better because they've got a team, they've got unlimited funds, and, you know, and it's something you just have to deal with, and it's very frustrating. But, you know, that's just part of the course. It's like going into a library. When you go into a library, you don't just get one book out on mysteries. You might get two or three from two or three different authors. And that's how I've had to force myself to look at it, because it can be very upsetting when I was first copied. Because it's legal. They're allowed to do that. But it's also very frustrating because if I had had the help that they had had, my competition, if I had had the money, I could have done the same thing, but you know, I'm still doing very well as far as ranking and as far as ratings and reviews. It's just you don't have that financial kind of juggernaut behind you to help you to advertise and to, because everything costs money. People don't just want to do a nice review on a blog for free, and they shouldn't. That's their business. That's where they make their money, and I understand that. But it costs money to make money, and it's that horrendous catch-22 we all catch ourselves in. It's just like when you're looking for a job and they want experience. Well, if you give me the job, I'll get experience.
Yeah.
You know, but it's the same thing. You need money to make money, and so, you know, it's been a bit of a nutty little ride I've been on the last few years, and I'm just hoping I can keep it going.
I know you'll be able to keep it going because you have that, you know, the fortitude. Let's face it, you know, I don't know why Yogi Berra just popped into my head, you know, where he said that 90% of baseball is half mental.
Yeah.
It 90% of building your business is half mental. It's having that strength to say, okay, I know I am going to hit a wall. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. I mean, I have a company. We have a line of clear bags and backpacks and sports and travel bags and things. I did the stupid thing, you know, took the down payment I saved for my house and started a business. It took me 2.5 years just to find a manufacturer that could make what I wanted, and then years of field testing and blah, blah, blah. And then through no fault of my own fault, in the sense that I it was my PhD in business of learning how to make sure that everything is on your purchase orders, you know, made a mistake that cost me my company. And I could have done one of two things. I could have just went, okay, fine, gave it a good run, bankrupted it, and just walked away. Or my choice, the choice I chose was to just give it a rest, kind of sell off what I had, and then revamp it, redo it, rebrand it, and reintroduce it, because it's a great line of products and everything. And it is. It's a really, you know, it's, do you believe in what you're doing enough that you're willing to just take the punches and roll with it and everything else? Or do you just say, hey, okay, I've put enough into this, it's time for me to do that, you know?
Yeah.
And it's funny because it's kind of how Word of Mom Radio came about and everything, and it's been the journey that I've been on. So it's really interesting to see all of this, you know, coming and how things are just kind of moving themselves along, taking on that life of their own. And, you know, I have to ask you, as you were, because I know there are people out there that have those ideas about creating an app, and I've thought about it for Word of Mom Radio. How did you sort through the good people for programming as opposed to, you know, doing my little finger quotes in the air, the bad people to stay away from? How do you sort through that when you don't know how to do it yourself?
Well, in my instance, I researched until, you know, I had headaches. I would be online basically looking at any and every article about, you know, telling whether or not somebody is legitimate, you know, on Elance. And what I ended up learning was when somebody goes on Elance, if you've ever, you know, been on there, you have, like, they have a review of themselves, what they do, and they have kind of a certain number of stars, people have rated them, and they have then they have the review from the person whose job they did, and everything, you know, always looks ever so lovely. And then they have maybe a portfolio that they've done. And what I learned is the hard way, you know, because I went into it kind of careful but still a bit too wide-eyed, is people make themselves look wonderful and tell you they can sell you and give you and make you the moon, and it turns out they're just doing it because they want the job. And so I learned very quickly how to fire people, which is not fun. But I, you know, so what I did was when you look at somebody on Elance and you see, oh, they're, you know, they're 4 stars, as far as I'm concerned, I don't want to deal with you. If you don't have 5 stars, you've done something seriously wrong. If you have, like, 4.5 stars and you have, like, just 5 jobs, again, I'm still not going to look at you because you don't have the experience and you've messed something up pretty big in 5 jobs that somebody rated you badly enough to give you that. Now, if your portfolio of your work and your description is impressive enough to me, then I'll go in and I'll look at your reviews. And if, you know, in looking at the description of what the person says you did wrong, if I can tell they were just a difficult client, because they are out there, as we all know, if they were just difficult and you did everything in your power to make it better for them, then I'll give you the benefit of the doubt and maybe, you know, try a conversation with you, you know. A big thing that I've noticed and I've seen over time is people on, you know, not everyone, but a lot of people on Elance, when they're doing those reviews, it'll be the same person who did 5 jobs with them. So that could be, for all I know, a good friend or a relative. So I need to see that you've done a lot of jobs, first off, with different people. And I need to see your portfolio to see if it's what I feel that I need, that I envision in my head, so if I can see that you can actually do this work. I need to see that you have a 5-star rating. If you have slightly lower than 5 stars, I need to see a really good reason why. And then, you know, I will basically pick out the ones that are close to what I'm interested in. And in my case, I'll say what I'm looking for, and I'll not tell them the details of the project until I have them sign a non-disclosure agreement. If they don't want to sign that, that's another red flag. You walk away. if they don't know what that is, it's another red flag. Walk away. You know, if they're willing to sign it and they're happy to sign it, but they're just too darn eager. You know, send me it now. Or they speak really broken English to the point that you can't have a conversation with them. I've tried working with people like that. They might do great work, but if you can't communicate with the person you're working with, you will have so many issues and so many problems, and you will get behind in your project and things won't get done properly. And, I mean, there's just so many little details that go wrong when things are, you know, all in alignment. You know, don't start out, you know, handicapping yourself by dealing with somebody who has, you know, very few jobs and under their belt just because they make themselves sound like they can do the job. You know, it's just, you have to be careful. You have to trust your gut, and there's no shortage of people who are going to be willing to do your job. Trust me, you're going to be sorting through a whole number of them. And you really have to take it all with a grain of salt, because they're all going to make themselves sound wonderful. And sadly, a vast majority of them, you know, are just thinking, I'll get this job and I'll figure it out as I go, or I'll get this job and convince them to do it another way. You know, I've had people I've hired who halfway through the project present me with something I never asked for. And, you know, so, you know, you always, always get things in writing and make sure you write down every single detail in minute detail of what you want, how you want it, and make it very specific that is what you're paying for. And if you do not get that, or if something occurs that makes it go over the time promised that they're going to deliver it, or if something occurs that it turns out it's going to cost them more to do it, that falls on their head. And they agree to it. And if they won't agree to that, that's another red flag. You know, and also it depends on, you know, the culture you're dealing with. I've dealt with some cultures that had no respect for me and thought they could walk all over me because I'm a woman. And, you know, they would show me something and say, here, this is better. And I'd say, that's not what I asked for. And they'd say, well, this, you know, we are artists and we have this vision and we know this will work well. And I said, you know, you don't understand. I asked for this. I hired you for this. If you don't give me this, then you'll give me my money back. You wrote, you know, I have it in the contract. This is what I want and everything. And they got upset with me. And I just said to them, I said, you know what, how would you feel if you hired me and I presented you with something that was completely different? I didn't ask your approval. I just gave it to you and said, there it is. That's what I've done for you. And it's not what you asked for. Do you think you'd accept it? You know, but they don't think, I think that some people don't think women will basically do that. They think we'll politely say, oh, well, no, gee, that's not really what I wanted, you know. And it's like, no, I was mad as hell. And you know, I was really mad. And, you know, and I let it be known. I said, it's not what I wanted. I said in writing what I wanted. Where was the miscommunication here? And his only answer was, you know how artists are. Sometimes they come up with things and ideas that they know will be better and so on and so forth. And I said, well, you know how presidents of companies are. They get mad as hell when you just mess around and do something they did not authorize you to do. This is not your app. This is mine. And I did not authorize your people to come up with some fun ideas. I'm happy and love to hear anybody else's ideas. They could come up with something 10 times better than I could, but you never, ever go ahead and create it and put it in there without my authorization. You know?
He
backed down and he realized what he'd done and he apologized, so.
I find that very often designers are kind of like doctors, you know. They're like, well, no, we know. So this is what's going to work. It's not what you asked for, but this is what's going to work. You know, or a doctor telling you, no, you know, yes, you're not feeling right, but there's nothing really wrong with you, and this is what the problem is. And you know it's not the problem. But very often we are afraid, you know. So often a designer will just ride roughshod over someone. And you're new in business, and you wind up getting intimidated and everything
exactly.
else. So who knows to you that you were like, no, this is what I hired you to do. This is what the contract says. And if you don't hold up your end of the contract, then you will need to refund my money, period.
Yeah.
There's nothing in this contract that says, oh, and by the way, you can change it at your will if you think something will work better.
Yeah, and then they were saying to me, well, it's going to cost money to have to take this out. I said, well, gee, maybe you should have had me authorize it first.
Right, exactly. Perhaps
I said, well, then you're
going
to, it's going to come out of your pocket because you're the ones who did it. I never anywhere ever said, just come up with your own idea and let me know about it later.
So I have to ask
me,
you. In sharing your intro that Apple changed the rules for kids' apps, what were the rules and how were they changed?
Well, in the beginning, you know, you could make a kids' app and you have ads in it and you have in-app purchases and so on and so forth. But, over time, parents, when you give your kid your iPhone, your iPad, and they're playing a game, and for some reason, some parents will just let their kid know their password. And if your kid's like a teenager and you've yelled at them, if you do it, you'll pay the price, I can understand. But some parents, for some reason, were just going ahead and letting their kids know what these passwords were. And the kids were, like any other kid, no concept of what they were doing, and they were just going ahead and buying things. And it, of course, caused a big controversy. There was a particular fish game where it was basically just an aquarium, and the fish would die, and you'd have to buy more fish. It was obviously, built to totally, make money, and it just, for little kids who didn't check on their fish enough, would come back and have dead fish, so they'd press the button to get new fish. Well, they're buying those dang fish, and the parent gets a bill, from Apple for like $1,000. And the parent understandably has like an absolute fit, which any parent would. But my question is, why was your child allowed to like just go off? I mean, you do have the ability to block your child from having your iTunes password, people.
Right.
And that's what got me. That's what got me upset, because some developers who took advantage of that fact and some parents who just didn't want to bother to oversee what their kids were doing hurt the rest of us. Because being a parent myself with three kids, I oversee every purchase. I have it linked so that every time they make a purchase on their device, it shows up in my email. And I have told them, if you ever make an unauthorized purchase, you will lose your device. So I don't get it when parents do this. And what happened was, I had ads and I had in-app purchases, but there was nothing hidden or secret about it. It was perfectly obvious, and there was nothing bad about it. My app is free to download. To do in-app purchase for a room, it was like 99 cents, or not thousands of dollars. Nothing ridiculous. But the rule basically went into effect in December of last year, and it said kids' apps can no longer have ads without parental gates and in-app purchases without parental gates. Now, as far as in-app purchases with parental gates, okay, fine, it's not a big deal. It means when you touch it or the kid touches it, like a math problem pops up or something, and so, they need help to get through, and it's that little way of protecting it, fine, whatever. But the ads, the problem is I always put in kid-appropriate ads. So you weren't going to touch my ads and go to a casino site. But some people, I guess, weren't as careful. And what happened was they made it a prerequisite that all the ads, just you weren't allowed to have them. And I took that when I first read it somehow, because it seemed ridiculous to me to take out the ads, because this is the main source of my income and Apple's income. I thought they just wanted to instill age-appropriate type ads. And I thought, well, that's good, great, I wasn't worried. My ads were age-appropriate. Once in a while, if an inappropriate age like type ad came in, like I had somehow, some way, some platform I was using started to show ads for Depends, And I was just like, oh, my God, so you quickly go in there and you fix it, and, it happens, but, not as a standard rule. You don't purposely do that.
Did you laugh that off, but going, all of you in pull-ups, guess what? you're going to be there.
I know.
Again
I just
someday.
Like, I'm like, well, I freak. So I'm an anxious control freak. So I was just like, oh my God, you know. But so what happened was, so I wake up one morning in December because Ethel has a break in December for a whole week, which boggles my mind. Like, you know, they can't afford to pay people to work that week. I don't get that. But so for a whole week, you have no clue what's going on with your app, pretty much. And then I wait, and it, finally the week is over, and I've lost 2/3 of my income overnight. And I dropped to the floor, and I said, what the heck has happened? And it's because my app had those things in it. It did not have parental gates. It did not it had ads. And they just booted it out of its main category, which it was in the top rank for.
Wow.
So yeah, no, I was in tears, you know, so I quickly got things together, resubmitted it. I made sure all of my ads were age appropriate, and, you know, I did everything I possibly could. And it got through again, but it was damaged at this point because the majority of ad platforms that I had been using stopped working in the kids category. So it was just a mess. It's a long, complicated mess. And the only way I can possibly, you know, so what I've done now is I'm taking and doing something called reskinning, which is people like people like iMommy. So, okay, fine. I'll take iMommy and do different concepts with it. So, you know, I have like baby monsters. I have alien babies. I'm coming out with baby fairies, baby mermaids, all these fun little things. I'm mommy retro, where the baby's in like a 1950s setting, you know, fun little things like that. But I can't get any of them to take off the way I mommy did, which is really weird, but it's just the way it is. And I'm hoping at some point one of these can take off and in a sense take over for I mommy, because the minute I try to update iMommy, the remaining ads that are in there I would have to take out, and that there goes my income. So I can't touch it. And if I could link all of my other apps to iMommy, as well as the iMommy teddy bear that's currently out, and all the stuff that's going on, that would be great, but I can't touch it. And I thought of, well, I'll just move it to another category where you can have ads, the family category. And Apple told me, no. You can't do that because anybody who has purchased your app in the kids category would get that update even if it's in a new category when they, you know, see the update available. So it's not allowed. So a lot of my reskins I'm putting in just the family category so I can have ads. You know, but they, like I said, they haven't taken off the way iMommy has. So as great as iMommy is, it could be better if I could link these things. And if I could revamp iMommy so I could have more interaction, you know, I'd love to have it where the baby's food, you know, runs out, so you have to go to the store. The baby's diapers run out, and you have to go to the store, and you have to play games to earn, you know, money to buy the baby stuff at the supermarket. I can do all that, but it's going to cost me thousands. We're talking $30,000-$40,000 to revamp this app, plus another, you know, chunk of change to get everything integrated, and it's not money I have. So that's, you know, why I started the crowdsource thing. But it's sad because unless you're saving the world or doing some noble venture, people financially don't really want to give, and that's too bad because it's a well-loved app, but, you know, unfortunately, my hands are sort of tied at the moment.
We need to take a station break. So really quickly, for those of you just tuning in, we're here on Word of Mom Radio. We're talking with Kathy Shamield about what is going on with iMommy and the apps that she's been creating. And I just want to say hello to our sponsors today, Cisco Marketing and Safety First Bag. So let's hear from Ms. Kemya.
Hi, this is Ms. Kemya, mompreneur and proud sponsor of Word of Mom Radio. I'm a marketing strategist and social media manager at Cisco Marketing, spelled P-H-I-S-C-O. Cisco Marketing is a marketing consulting firm, and we facilitate the growth of small businesses through conventional standard marketing techniques merged with today's latest social media tactics. We provide branding, social media management, event, and content marketing for businesses in search of real, practical, based solutions and ready to manifest exponential growth. If you're lost in a digital space, Fisco Marketing will lead you through the social media terrain with a strategy to build engagement and drive results. For more information on our services, please visit FiscoMarketing.com. Here you will find a blog chock full of do-it-yourself information on all things related to marketing, social media, and the business of being an entrepreneur. Revitalize your marketing strategy and remain head over heels in love with your business. Stop by and say hello at FiscoMarketing.com.
And our other sponsor today is Safety First Bags. You need to travel and you need your laptop when you do, but do you really want to remove your laptop at every airport checkpoint? Not if you don't have to, and with Safety First Bags, you don't. All of their checkpoint-friendly laptop bags and backpacks meet TSA approval, meaning that jet-setting mompreneurs and busy travelers no longer need to remove their laptop at security checkpoints. You merely open your bag, lie it flat, and it goes straight through. So give yourself the gift of convenience. Go to wordofmomradio.com/offer/ for special pricing and free shipping for our Word of Mom Radio listeners. So thank you to Fisco Marketing and Safety First Bags for sponsoring today's show. And we're back here with Kathy Schmield, and we are talking about the challenges that she is going through trying to revamp her app because of the changes that were made on with Apple. And as a business owner, I mean, it's such an amazing thing when something happens that has nothing to do with you and the rules just change. And it just, you know, that's it. And it's a strange thing to me because you would think, you know, and that's just me being kind of Mr. Smith going to Washington when I'm up on Capitol Hill, where you're just standing there going, okay, if you're going to do this, don't you think you should provide the people give the ability to go, okay, here's how you fix this, as opposed to just taking down your app and saying, okay, bye-bye? It's ridiculously frustrating.
Yeah, no, it is. But, you know, they have you over a barrel because, you know, they have a monopoly. And, you're just one little, you know, developer to them. And it's funny, too, because they must have lost money on it as well because they make, you know, 30% off of, you know, your sales and stuff. So it's interesting.
Well,
but
of course they lost money from it. But, you know, when you're Apple, you know, if they were kumquat, they may have treated it differently. But when you're Apple, it's like, okay, you know, okay, we'll lose a little bit of income here, but, you know, we're going to save a bunch of lawsuits there.
Pretty much, it came down to, yeah.
Well, sure.
Because they
does.
Were getting a lot of,
sure
and it's
does.
Just, it's frustrating because it's one thing if your product stinks, it's another thing if you've done something wrong. But when you have something that, you know, I had a top app, top, you know, 5 stars, everything was lovely. I had done nothing wrong. I was ever so careful. And, you know, it was a mixture because there were some parents who just simply wouldn't, you know, do a few extra steps to protect their own, you know, money. And because Apple really didn't have enough guts to say, you know, there is a way of you just simply not letting them have those purchases and standing up for their developers. They just, you know, kind of caved and instituted this whole new rule, which hurt tons and tons of developers who financially had no way, you know, to save themselves. You know, it's just
it's
nightmare.
I have a question with the whole reskinning idea of things. Why not reskin iMommy?
Would it be
cheaper to do that? And then because you already have the ranking and everything. And here's my other question. And I don't know, people ask me this all the time. Do you build a database of the people that had downloaded the app and things like that?
Well, I mean, I have the amount of downloads and the amount of active users and things like that. But the problem with iMommy is I could reskin it, but in order to the actual physical app that is sitting in the kids category now, to change and do anything to it, the minute I do, I have to take out the existing ads that are in there, which is what is my income. So, So financially, I'd be shooting myself in the foot. So, you know, and trying to pay off business debt with no money coming in is a bit difficult. So,
yeah, you know,
so, yeah.
Well, been there, done that.
Yeah,
you know,
so I was hoping
to talk about robbing,
you know.
You know, let's face it, we're robbing from Peter to pay Paul, and I don't know about you, but I've brought Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in many times.
Well, that's the thing. I was hoping to build like a what I call a funnel, which were my reskins, apps that are the same as iMommy, but they're different with graphics, they're different with some, you know, sound, they have some different functionality to them, and, you know, have one of them take off, and that could be the funnel to connect all the apps together instead of using iMommy as the funnel to connect all the apps together. But, you know, I've yet to have that happen. I have a lot of hopes for Baby Fairies coming out and Baby Mermaids. They're both incredibly adorable. I love the graphics I'm seeing, and, you know, they're just great, and they'll be in the family category, so they'll have, you know, the ads, and it could be a lovely, happy, wonderful ending to my story, but it's difficult. It's very, very, very difficult to get an app in the top of a category, and I have one there, but I can't use it to promote my other apps, because I have no way of connecting them without, you know, damaging the app that's there. And getting people to notice the new app. I mean, I've even had iTunes, I've had Apple, you know, in the iTunes categories that carried my new apps, feature my apps. You know, they featured Alien Babies and Monster Babies. They liked them. They featured them. They still didn't take off. So it's really, really odd, because you would think, it's such a cute idea, and people love it, and they're all 5-star rated. Why didn't they take off? But iMommy did, and iMommy, you know, is still solid. What, you know, it's just it boggles the mind. So I'm hoping, hopefully, you know, Baby Fairies will be popular enough to get noticed, and get into the top of the category, and be stable enough and liked enough that people download it. But, you know, you have no way of doing that. You know, big name corporations, big name companies, they can buy people to download their app, which ups the ranking, which gets it seen. I don't have the money to do that. So
well,
it's just,
speaking
it's,
of that,
you know, again, you know, it takes money
right
to make money, you know.
It does. And right before the break, you were talking about crowdfunding. Explain to people what that is for people who don't know. I mean, the term gets thrown around all the time.
Well, there are a lot of different sites that do it. Basically, you put up a project that you're trying to raise money for, and people donate money. You know, they give you money for it. Some of them are ideas that they can, like, if you donate money, you get part of the idea. You know, they'll send you one when it's made or something. You know, mine, I have on Indigo. Indiegogo is the name of the site, and I put up mine, you know, to help save iMommy, to raise the funds to fix it and to get it revamped. You know, it's sadly you know, it's had very few donations because, you know, there's not much I can give back. You know, I can give back once the app was made and finished, like a free copy of the app, but that's really all I have to offer. You know, it's not a cool new invention. It's not something that's going to, you know, feed thousands of people. And people have been really, really wonderful and great on Facebook and Twitter and sharing the info and helping out with it. But, you know, it's just kind of, again, a bit frustrating because you see things like Reading Rainbow and everyone talk about, oh my God, they got $6 million for funding. Crowdsourcing is a great thing. Crowdsourcing is wonderful. And I'm thinking, you know, yeah, it is if you're a big celebrity or you have a huge idea, but if you're a small business person who has a really, you know, well-loved app or whatever it is you're selling and you need help, you know, people kind of just pass you by. And that's sad, you know, because it shouldn't be like that. It should be that people take interest equally kind of in everything, but that's not the world. The world's not fair, you know, but it's just another thing I'm trying to do to try and find a way. You know, I've looked for investors. I've looked for different things, and it's kind of nothing's really worked out yet, you know, and I'll just keep going, and I'll keep trying. I'm you know, going to go around and hopefully maybe I can find a second job or something. And, you know, but that's difficult too, because every time I apply and they say, what do you do? And I say, well, I've run my own company for 4 years. They say that I, you know, have too much experience, or they, you know, they want to put you in a position where I basically be, you know, spending more money on gas to go to the job than making money. So it's an interesting and odd situation I find myself in right now. And, you know, something hopefully will work out at some point, and just going to keep trying. I mean, that's all I can do is keep looking for options and opportunity, and just turning this way and that way and seeing if something eventually, if a door opens.
When I now, having never done, you know, an Indiegogo, I mean, although I've been considering it with Word of Mom Radio and our expansion, is there a way to pinpoint who you target?
They think that kind of you. It's kind of sad. They I mean, it's a great platform because, you know, they help you with putting the word out and everything like that, but it's up to you to get people to
notice you.
No,
I meant
you.
That. I didn't mean them. I meant you. Is there a way for you to, I mean, you know, let's face it, you can pinpoint in social media the people that are talking about apps and baby apps and things like that. Is there a way to, A, target them and let them know, hey, here's what I'm doing, this is what's gone on, and B, is it something that, you know, there have to be other app developers that are making things for kids?
Maybe I mean, I've tried to
marry a couple of projects, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just trying to get creative myself, you know?
I mean, I've basically left no stone unturned at this point. I've, through Facebook, through LinkedIn, through Twitter, through Instagram, I've tried it all. And over the years, the only people I follow and the vast majority who follow me are parents. And it's very sad that on Twitter I've had maybe a handful of people retweet, you know, me. And it's just, it really, it comes down to, again, if it doesn't kind of directly impact somebody or they don't necessarily know you personally, they're not really that moved to do anything about it. You know, if it's great that people want to help out on a global stage, if you have a huge idea that can help many people, and or if it's a you know, life or death situation, they want to help. But, you know, when it comes to something like this, it's really not exciting enough for people to get interested in. And, you know, and that's too bad, because it just, you know, if everyone just, you know, helped out a little bit, it would be enough to, you know, turn around my company and help enable me to make more kids apps that are nonviolent and kid friendly and, you know, grow. But when people don't want to help, and then they complain a few years down the road, why we only have video games where people are getting shot and killed, it's because, well, those are the games people give money to, you know, and the little ones can't survive unless we're big corporations, and a lot of us out there aren't. You know, I used to have people write into me, occasionally I still do, complaining and saying your app should be for free because it's for little kids. Even though it's free to download, you have like 6 rooms free and the other 6 are like in-app purchase. And I say to them, I say, well, you know, you don't quite understand how this works. I have, you know, bills as well, and I have kids to feed, and it takes thousands upon thousands of dollars to make these apps. So charging you a few dollars really isn't that big a deal. I pay for apps for my kids, and when I'm doing it, I'm happy to do it because I know I'm helping that developer be able to afford to make more. So if you want everything for free, then the only way you're going to get that is if you only buy apps off of huge, huge companies, and you're going to then create a monopoly, and pretty soon those are going to be the only companies developing, because you're going to kill the small ones, because this is our livelihood, and it's a few dollars, really, and your iPad cost how much? So, know, it's a bit funny, you know. But when it's a little kid writing to me, it breaks my heart. You know, my mommy won't give me a dollar to, you know, get this new room. Please, please make it for free. And you know, I used to
feel you know,
so,
mommy
so
is sitting there dictating to them. You know, because
I know,
she
but I felt so bad in the beginning.
You know
I felt so guilty. I would do free weekends. I would offer it for free on a weekend every once in a while, hoping that kid would get it, you know, but they left no contact information. If they had, I would have happily sent them a promo code and given it to that kid for free. But after a while, I realized you will never, ever please everybody. And
no,
everybody will expect a handout, and you will sink financially, and they won't care because they wouldn't spend $2, you know. And it's just after a while, you get, sadly, a bit, you know, hard-skinned about it. You gotta get a bit of a tough layer of skin on you to learn how to survive in this business, because you think you're doing a good thing and you think you're doing the kind thing, and sadly there are so many people who will just take advantage of that, and
but
when
you know,
really need help, they don't care.
But that goes into the you can't please everyone, you know, all the people all the time. There's always somebody. You know, the fact that you do this, it's free to download. You know, it's not free to download and you have to buy every single thing that goes along with it. It's free to download. You have 6 free rooms, you know, and then it's up to you. You can either go download the next free app and get a couple of free things with that. But if you want to get more involved in this, you're not saying, well, you know, it's going to cost you $100. It's $1.
Yeah.
$2.
Yeah.
So that's where, you know, it does get frustrating because it's like, really? Really? You know, you actually want to make an issue over this, but
yeah, I know it's surprising, but it's, but you know, and also you know, it's just it, then you get a nice review where you get a mom talking about her special needs kid who, this is the first app that ever made them smile, and they fell asleep holding it, and they woke up checking on their baby, you know, and that stuff makes it worthwhile, you know, and I get a lot of reviews like that, and that kind of keeps me going. But you know, when the money runs out, there's nothing you can do, you know, and it's just I'm kind of at the point now where there's just my back's to a wall, and I, you know, we want to keep it going because so many kids do like it, and so many parents like it. But it's like saying, you know, I really love this, you know, whatever, this, you know, town, or I love this and that. But then when it's in trouble, you walk away. And it's just like, well, if you love it, then help it. You know, help it to survive, you know.
But you know what? You are doing the right thing in the sense that you're asking for help because, you know, very often when people need help with something, they don't say anything. They don't actively say, hey, we need help, you know, and you know, so good for you that you are actively doing that. And I have to ask you, you know, I hear you have a teddy bear for sale, and I know that the iMommy is a teddy bear icon. Is that the one that you're selling?
Yeah, iMommy has on the icon, it's a picture of a little teddy bear, and inside the app, the baby snuggles with a teddy bear, and over time, you know, I've been interviewing different companies, and I eventually found one that has made it, you know, custom made to look just like it. It's a nice, you know, it's a big one. It's like 16-inch plush teddy bear, and yeah, and it's for sale now. And what I've done is on my website, which is imommyapp.com, there's a link there to purchase it. And the app coming out in a few weeks, Baby Fairies, there'll be a link in there to purchase it as well. And I've also, you know, I've put it out on Facebook and different things, but, you know, it's just getting, again, it's all about getting the word out, and you try your best to get the word out, but when you don't have the money to market the way you really, really need to market to get things to take off, you're kind of behind, you know, the eight ball. You don't really have... you kind of dig yourself into a hole. You know, you've got this great thing that's lovely, you know, and, you know, kids would like it, but you have no way of getting it in front of the parents because you're limited to your own free resources, you know, and you don't want to tick off and bore the people following you by constantly repeating, please share, please retweet, please tell your friends about this. I hate it when people do that to me, and I don't want to do it to my friends, you know, and you know, so after you do it for a few times, you stop because eventually people are going to stop following you, you know, and, you know, they just don't want an advertisement shouted at them all the time. So I'm hoping, you know, I'm hoping at some point people will, you know, either go to the website or, you know, they'll get the new apps coming out and they'll see it and hopefully they'll order them, you know. We'll have to wait and see.
Well, I, you know, it's so interesting as you are trying to move things along when you hit those walls and trying to find those creative ways to keep your dream alive. And I really applaud that you're doing that. And we just have to do a little Word of Mom housekeeping. Tomorrow on the Managing Mompreneur Mayhem show, Sina is going to be sharing how to make better, faster decisions. And it's learning how to make better decisions, faster decisions, you know, for your business and in life. And I'm really looking forward to it because, you know, Sina always shares such a great show. And on Wednesday, Branding Beyond Blogging with Glenda Case is here, and she has Kayla Wilson on, who is the owner of Crazy Oil Chicks. And they're going to be talking about how to bring your children into your business, which, let's face it, for a lot of us as mompreneurs, starting a business and having a business that your kids become part of, I mean, it just doesn't really get much better than that. So, you know, it's exciting. And I'm really looking forward to what's going on this week and just, you know, great guests. We have a lot of things happening this month. And so I encourage you to enjoy not only our shows live, but you know that they're there in archive. And that's, I think, what is the best part of Word of Mom Radio, that we are always live on your time. So we're back here with Kathy Schmiel. Kathy, let it know everybody know how to find you, where to go for your fundraising project, where to go to find you on Facebook and Twitter and everything.
Well, for most of my information is on my website, imommyapp.com. I am on Twitter, which is at imommygame. And for as far as, you know, Facebook, you could just simply go ahead and look me up by name. I'm there a lot as well. Happy to meet new people. You know, always always open to discussion. But, yeah, Twitter, it's imommygame. Facebook, just, you know, put in my name, Kathy Schmiel, and or just go to my website, imommyapp.com.
So what are you hoping the future holds for you and your app?
Hoping I find some way to get the funds, whether it's, I mean, ideally I hope it's one of the other reskins of iMommy takes off and enables me to revamp the whole business, or, you know, some other door opens. I'm always open to new opportunities, but hopefully something will come along that will give me that chance, you know, to redo things, because it's a great product, a proven, you know, success. It's just, you know, it's gotten a bit of the wind knocked out of it due to something that was not its fault. And, you know, and I'll find a way, and I'll keep trying until I get there.
I'm sure you will. And now, you know what, I know you have a project on Quirky.
Oh, yes, yes. I just was designing on Quirky.com. Basically, it's a revamped diaper bag type thing where it's you roll it out instead of just a regular bag where everything gets lost and gets, you know, orange juice on it or some other gunk. It rolls out, separate containers in each. I've called it the roll and go. You can, if you go on quirky.com, again, I think you can look up my name, Kathy Schmiel, or you can look up under parents. They will have the different products featured. I'm hoping it does well. It's gotten a lot of votes, and, you know, we'll see where it goes. Hopefully people will take an interest. You know, I've put a few other products up there for kind of maternity wear for supporting of the pregnant belly, as we've all been there. I've had a few experiences myself that I could have used some help with, so I've designed a few things there. So it's just another thing I'm trying to, just not only just for fun, because I like to think up, you know, ideas, but also if something were to work out, it would also be another way to fund, you know, my company as well.
I have to ask, as you are doing things, do your kids ever give you any input on the things that you're putting on the app?
Oh, my God, yes. My son, in his boy sense of humor, when I created iMommy in the diaper changing room, he had me put the fart button, and he thought that was the best thing ever. This is perfect boy sense of humor.
You know, it really is.
It is.
Really
so we did
is.
The oops. It's called the oops button, and when you press it, the baby, you know, farts. So he thought that was hilarious. And the girls, I have them test it. I hand it to them and say, okay, play with it. Tell me what you think. You know, do you like this? What do you think of that? Does this look weird? And you know, and they've been a great resource for me. You know, my actual target audience. You know,
isn't it fun when you get to? You know, have them, and they can, and it's got to be exciting for them because then they feel like they are a part of what you are building, you know?
Yeah,
it was always fun with my business when I started designing the bags, and my kids were so instrumental, you know, put a pocket like this, do this, that, blah, 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 blah. But then they were like, we're not carrying a clear bag until somebody tells us we have to. And I was like, that's fine. Then I did a messenger bag, and I had it tinted in a purple. And my daughter was in fourth grade at the time, and she was like, Mommy, that's – no. She was in middle school. She was like, Mom, that's kind of cool. Can I use that? And I was like,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, and it fit her books, and it was great. And then we came out with our sports line. We did a duffel bag, a gym bag, and a baseball bag. And whenever samples would come in, I'd wait for the kids to come home, and – I opened them up, and they were like, now that's cool. My oldest son was a senior. He was like, I'll take the duffel bag. And my middle son took the gym bag, and my daughter took the baseball bag. And I was upstairs, and it's like, yes, I finally made bags cool enough my kids want them, you know, without having to be told.
And it's great because then they tell their friends, and it gets around.
Well, see, their friends loved them. Their friends thought they were awesome. You know, but it was just, it was so much fun. And it is, as you have, when when you're making something that your target audience is kids or that's part of your target market, it is exciting when your kids get to have that input because you get to put on your, you know, that it's kid approved. Hey, your kids approved this, you know,
yeah,
so one
exactly.
kid to another, you know, and I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm trying to think of creative ways to get things out there. I mean, come on, there are mommy app bloggers to be able to.
Oh, I've had them. They've all reviewed it. They've all reviewed it, and they all gave them 5 stars. They all love it. That's the thing is everyone who reviews it, everyone who looks at parents.com, everybody I've had, the big names, they all love it. But it's why it's done so well. But, you know, trying to, and I'm going to, with Baby Fairies, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to do the mom blogger route, and I'm going to get the word out. But, you know, there's just also no rhyme or reason, you know. You can have a great product that people who've tried it love, but for one reason or another, you can't get it in front of enough people, whether it's, you know, for financial reasons or, you know, whether it's that, you know, you've kind of turned over every stone you can turn over, but it just doesn't take off. You know, it just happens. You know, and I've been very blessed and very lucky that iMommy did as well as it's done. It's just frustrating when you know it could do so much better because it's been there. You know, I was close to being in the top 15, and then the rug got pulled out. So it's very hard. It's very hard to go from being the top breadwinner in your household to saying, I don't know if I can survive. It's really quite a blow in the period of a few months. But it's, you know, you learn, and I've grown, and if I find a way somehow to pull myself out of this, I'll be all the stronger and for it, and I'll have learned so much that I can share with other people, you know?
Well, I'm going to say that I'm going to throw out in the universe that you will find a way to pull yourself up because you are that person that is going to be able to survive any of this, and you will learn from it, you will grow from it, and you will create things that are even better than you dreamed of. I know you will. So I'm just going to throw that out there in the universe because it's time for us to end this show. So I please, I encourage you to find out more about Kathy Chenille. Please go on imommyapp.com. Find her on Facebook. She puts up great stuff. And connect with her. Share what she's doing. Share, share, share. It is what makes our businesses happen. So on that note, Dori DiCarlo here on the Mompreneur Model Show on Word of Mom Radio. Thank you so much, Kathy, for being here. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And, again, join us tomorrow for Managing Mompreneur Mayhem with Sina Block. Until then, we will see you later on Word of Mom Radio. Go out there and create a marvelous you. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.